This is the last verse of the chapter. Lord Krishna shows the universal form. Translation. Thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, along with Balaram, lived in Vrindavan, Brajabhumi, just to substantiate the benediction of Brahma. By exhibiting different pastimes in his childhood, he increased the transcendental pleasure of Nanda and the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 8th chapter, the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Lord Krishna Shows the Universal Form Within His Mouth. Chapter 9, Mother Yashoda Binds Lord Krishna. There's an introduction, so I'll read that. One day, the maidservants being engaged in other work, Mother Yashoda was churning the yogurt into butter herself. And in the meantime, Krishna came and requested her to allow him to suck her breast. Of course, Mother Yashoda immediately allowed him to do so, but then she saw that the hot milk on the oven was overflowing, and therefore she immediately stopped allowing Krishna to drink the milk from her breast and went to stop the milk on the oven from overflowing. Krishna, however, having been interrupted in his business of sucking the breast, was very angry. He took a piece of stone, broke the churning pot, and entered the room where he began to eat freshly churned butter. When Mother Yashoda, after attending to the overflowing milk, returned and saw the pot broken, she could understand that this was the work of Krishna, and therefore she went to search for him. When she entered the room, she saw Krishna standing on the ulukala, a large mortar for grinding spices, having turned it upside down. He was stealing butter, hanging from a swing, and was distributing the butter to the monkeys. As soon as Krishna saw that his mother had come, he immediately began to run away, and Mother Yashoda began to follow him. After going some distance, Mother Yashoda was able to catch Krishna, who, because of his offense, was crying. Mother Yashoda, of course, threatened to punish Krishna if he acted in that way again, and she decided to bind him with rope. Unfortunately, when the time came to tie the knot, the rope with which she wanted to bind him was short by a distance of 2 fingers. When she made the rope longer by adding another rope, she again saw that it was short by 2 fingers. Thus she became very tired, and Krishna, seeing his affectionate mother so tired, allowed himself to be bound. Now, being compassionate, he did not show his unlimited potency. After Mother Yashoda bound Krishna and became engaged in other household affairs, Krishna observed 2 Yamala Arjuna trees, which were actually Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, 2 sons of Kuvera who had been condemned by Narada Muni to become trees. Krishna, by his mercy, now began to proceed towards the trees to fulfill the desire of Narada Muni. So there's 2 texts here. I'll just read text 1 and we'll responsibly chant text 2. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. One day when Mother Yashoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household activities, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, quoting from the Vaishnava Toshini of Srila Sanatana Goswami, says that the incident of Krishna's breaking the pot of yogurt and being bound by Mother Yashoda took place on the day Deepavali, or Deepamalika. Even today in India, this festival is generally celebrated very gorgeously in the month of Kartik by fireworks and lights, especially in Bombay. It is to be understood that among all the cows of Nanda Maharaj, several of Mother Yashoda's cows ate only grasses so flavorful that the grasses would automatically flavor the milk. We have a little bit of Goshala seminar coming in here. Mother Yashoda wanted to collect the milk from these cows, make it into yogurt, and churn it into butter personally, since she thought that this child Krishna was going to the houses of neighborhood gopers and gopis to steal the butter because he did not like the milk and yogurt ordinarily prepared. While churning the butter, Mother Yashoda was singing about the childhood activities of Krishna. It was formerly a custom that if one wanted to remember something constantly, he would transform it into poetry or have this done by a professional poet. It appears that Mother Yashoda did not want to forget Krishna's activities at any time. Therefore, she poeticized all of Krishna's childhood activities, such as the killing of Putana, Agasura, Shakatasura, Trinavata. And while churning the butter, she sang about these activities in poetical form. This should be the practice of persons eager to remain in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. This incident shows how Krishna conscious Mother Yashoda was. To stay in Krishna consciousness, we should follow such persons. Chakshuram militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So the joy of devotion of Mother Yashoda is exhibited here. We've recently seen the film, The Joy of Devotion, which has been released by a devotee from Krishna Valley. Who's seen the film? A few of you went. Yeah, it was quite a big evening. The hall was full. But the film is very, very good. And whenever Krishna and Mother Yashoda, when Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda appear, it is when Krishna appears. They appear to alleviate the suffering of humanity by their simple example of their lifestyle. So, what is the power of devotion? What is the joy of devotion? It's continually working in devotion in whatever you do. We have seen here at Bhaktivedanta four generations of devotees in the UK Yatra. And it's always wonderful to hear Sankirtan stories as we've been hearing just this last week. So we might have time to pop a few in today. What impresses people the most is dedication. For example, there are not many things on the media, the television, about devotional service. And although the films like Joy of Devotion and Acharya, which is a very long film, this may change things. There was one program, however, on a BBC program about Varanasi, and one of the modern scientists who always get a lot of airtime, he went to Varanasi in search of the truth. And he found where they're burning continually in the ghat there, the bodies of deceased, the funeral pyres are lit, and they float them down the Ganges like that very often. And all the ashes go into the river Ganges. He was very impressed by this, and it taught him that he thought it was a lesson on the temporary nature of the body, and possibly that he thought it was a lesson about the eternal nature of the self. So this impressed him. This impressed him beyond all his other science, and it was very significant that he said this to people like us who appreciate the path of self-realization. What impressed him the most, however, was when he went up into the mountains at Varanasi, he found all these Matajis chanting in the caves, in the mountains, continually chanting about the glories of the Lord. He could see that they were satisfied in their life. Sanchadi Haritoshanam. How to become satisfied? You simply satisfy Krishna and you will be satisfied. Many people come to Bhaktivedanta Samana in the beginning to take darshan of Srila Prabhupada. They've come from all over the country, from all walks of life. In the beginning, Srila Prabhupada would invite people to see him in his rooms and discuss various topics. To set the scene for us, this will go on with the Haveli, bringing more people to Krishna. It's very important. How can it not be important? He held initiation ceremonies here in the temple, where I was initiated in 1975. He would perform book distribution. We would perform book distribution every Saturday, and then we'd go out on Harinam. This was Srila Prabhupada's desire. In the beginning, it seemed a very difficult challenge to go on Harinam, because people did not know about Krishna consciousness. They had never seen devotees. And we'd go out into the streets of all different towns, grey industrial towns, and have a kirtan party going down the street. And a lot of people didn't like it. And they'd come and attack the devotees. It was an austerity. They would come and pull our dhotis out, push us like this. And sometimes we'd defend our god brothers with cartels. And these people would soon go away. But the Sankirtan party went on, year after year. But these people would hear the holy name. So every town and village, and there's Sankirtan parties going out continually to different towns and villages. This is Srila Prabhupada's desire. I remember doing book distribution at the airport. Some people would come up to you and insult you with, "Why don't you get a proper job? What are you doing? Why are you dressed like that?" But gradually things would change. By developing techniques, things would change. The techniques in book distribution. We did have one program of putting books into bookshops. And from this came my training with BBT and Satsarup Maharaj in America. Even further afield, these books were going into shops up north. And there was one book we used to very much put into these shops. It was The Teachings in Vedic Literature. Who's read this book? Who's seen this book? Yeah. This is a very easy book for beginners to read, a very studious type of book. The bookshops liked it very much. So it's by Satsarup Maharaj. And they'd be stocking these books along with The Perfection of Yoga, Rajavijaya, The King of Knowledge, The Chaitanya Charitamrita, some books like this. We didn't do whole sets at this time. And Krishna book, we would stock Krishna book, but some people would say, after 2 weeks of having them, they'd phone up and say, "We're not sure about this book, about the colorful paintings. How can this be the spiritual world?" So the bookshop owners didn't get it. But still, the books were there. And from it came, we added books like The Science of Self-Realization. This became a very scientific book. And then, of course, the Yellow Bhagavad Gita. This Bhagavad Gita was studied as a yoga course book all over America. Then one book in Leamington Spa that had one of our stocks, they'd gone down dramatically, and they'd keep phoning up and saying, "We want some more of these books. Can you bring some more?" So we'd be doing everything ourselves from the manor here. The book room was the theater at the time. And it was stacked full of books, and we'd be writing to people, fulfilling book orders. And we went up to this bookshop, and every time we went there, more and more had gone. And then we realized one boy was buying all these books. And it was Ann Kota Prabhu, who now lives in the USA. Then also Shastra Chaksas. He was one boy who wrote to the temple, and we replied, and he then joined, and we ended up going to New York to visit the park where Srila Prabhupada had first chanted. And we found the tree under which Prabhupada stood, and now today it has a plaque devoted to ISKCON underneath that tree. So I found myself traveling with Satsarup Maharaj on the BBC Library Party, headed by Bhakta Tirtha Swami, who was then, of course, Ghanisham. I'd only joined ISKCON a year before and gotten initiated here in 1975. And I found then, after coming back from America, a cheap way to get to India. This was needed because we'd all given all our money, to ISKCON. That was the form in those days. You join the temple, you have to surrender your Lakshmi. And so we surrendered Lakshmi. And they said, but you've got to make it and one after the number. And I said, "I've given you all my money." And they said, "You've got to make it £31, the last £30. So we found another pound. It was £31. And then we considered that we'd joined ISKCON like that. And I was put into the office with Mukunda Maharaj and a devotee called Patitu Dharan. And somehow or other, I was training up. They were training me up with office work about BBT, how to distribute these books through libraries and colleges. It was a wonderful experience. And Baba Vishnu was he used to have this office. This was a little room here opposite the now washroom, which was the treasury years before. And he went upstairs, Baba Vishnu, and Mukunda and Patita Dhan had this office and trained me in there how to run the office. And then eventually I went into the book room and had the BBT started there. And from there it went into Europe. So it started there, and Harikesh at the similar time was doing BBT Germany. So these were the two offices in Europe that started book distribution. I think I still have a slideshow distributing BTGs in the middle of Afghanistan on our way to India. We went from Germany, the temple, a castle called Schloss Retterschof. Big castle. All the devotees were there. It was daunting building, but the devotees had turned it into a transcendental temple. We went through Bulgaria, Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and we entered the western borders of India. So this was a way to get to India. We did this kind of thing in those days because we didn't have any other money to get to India. So I think we have slideshows of distributing BTG in the Afghan desert. Yeah. We've dug these out. We've still got these carousels, and we'd like to show them gradually. There were a few devotees at the manor, and I was taken under the wing by Mukunda. And I learned so many lessons from Mukunda Maharaj. He was the example of humility. If you wanted to be powerful, the power was in humility. That was the position to take. Always take the humble position. It's far more powerful than trying to do anything else. So after sitting there for some months, 1975 came round, and Prabhupada was visiting England, and they had devised that my name should be Radha Krishna Das. I didn't know this until Prabhupada announced my name, but they had worked this and requested Prabhupada. So this is an amazing fortune to have a name like this and be able to serve Krishna. So they worked on setting up this temple, and they worked very hard to do this, and many programs were started. The first college programs were started. We went out to universities and colleges, and we would introduce Krishna consciousness. People would come back to the temple. People would take books. And from there, it kind of started. And every week, there was Harinam. So it's nice to hear that devotees are doing this now. They're meeting people on the street, and they're taking their address if they can, and they're following up to culture these people and make them devotees. That's very, very good. So, our power of devotion is purity. Purity is the force. If we can get into the service of our guru and perform this without deviation, this is the goal of our life. We may not all be poets or great singers, but we can develop our service to Krishna and do it in the very best capacity that we can. All classes of persons can take up devotional service. All service to Krishna is on the absolute platform. But we have to find out what is right in each service. We have to find out what is right in the deity department. We have to find out what is right in the kitchen department. We have to find out what is right in the agricultural department. Upadeshamrita is the book that's all about accepting and rejecting. We need to make distinctions. This is the way to progress. Whatever our service is, according to our nature, we should do to the best of our ability. We don't see it as chores or daily work so much. It can become a meditation on the supreme with the highest beneficial outcome. Yes, everything should be a meditation on Krishna. We take the energy of Krishna in whatever form we find it in our service, and whatever that may be, we can offer it back to the Supreme Lord. This is what devotional life is about. Perfect your service, and this will be the vehicle by which you can enter the kingdom of God. Your service will become sublime and continued. What you now do for Krishna, you can do in the spiritual world. There are 9 processes of devotional service, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is given the following explanation in his Tatya. Shravanam Kirtanam. We know this means hearing and chanting. So we also hear about the name, form, glories, attributes of the Lord. Now, how to chant 16 rounds when the mind is disturbed, when we're feeling despondent? You take your beads and you walk up the road and you chant 4 rounds. You walk back, that's another 4 rounds. You go in the other direction, 4 rounds, like that. And you will also, even though the chanting is mechanical in the beginning, we have to try and do this. We have to try and do this. And then it will become not so mechanical. And if you don't have the little chanting bead counters, like I don't see that people have them these days, we used to string our own beads, make the little 16 counters like this. So I do by time, walking by time. And I was in the distributing our agricultural equipment to the Buddhist temple in France. There was 3 farms, and every morning they'd be in their temple chanting all their mantras with their gongs, and I'd be walking outside, going all the way to the lake and then back again, doing the slow walk. And they'd invited me into the temple. I said, no, I'm going to do the slow. So they're thinking I was walking up and down, very slow walk. They do a very slow walk. But I was chanting my japa. So they were going up and I was coming back. And after about 8 of these trips, I'd chanted 16 rounds. And they thought, wow, he's really into slow walking. But I was chanting Hare Krishna. Because for a devotee, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. It's Brahman realization. And Prabhupada says that's very difficult to obtain perfection. It's not possible. So for one who has understood Krishna, then he's absorbed in pastimes of Krishna and hearing about Krishna. Shravanam Kirtanam. So, Vishnu Smaranam, remembering the pastimes, trying to understand more and more about the Lord. Padasevanam, serving the lotus feet according to time and circumstance, i.e. serving prasadam, cleaning the temple, or as I had the good fortune to do on Parakram, at the house of Vasudev Dat, who liberated the whole universe 15 times, was it 15 times? 15 times, I believe. We had come to a well, and all of the devotees were going to take prasadam. And so they were going to this huge metal pump well, trying to wash their hands, pump the water and wash their hands. So I had, as a young devotee, had taken the pump and was pumping this water for all the devotees. And I was in bliss doing this service. And then Jai Pataka Maharaj came along, and he gave me this very warm smile. Oh, yes. He could understand the leela that we were in, serving all the devotees like this. So, Padasevanam. Drinking. We drank the washing water from Srila Prabhupada in New York, where they washed Prabhupada's lotus feet in the temple. There were 2 or 3 of us, and the whole bowl got down into the basement where there was a restaurant underneath the temple room. And somehow it was 3 of us there, Harikesh, myself, and 1 other devotee, might have been Shastra Chaksas, and we just passed this bowl round and we drank the whole bowl. And we were in ecstasy. So this is also Padasavanam. Archanam Bandhanam, worshipping the deity. Pujari, being a Pujari, very important service. This changes your life. This actually affects you very deeply, doing deity worship. Lot of rules and regulations, the right way to do things, but it's very, very beneficial to do this service. We had wooden deities in the Switzerland temple where I was president for a while, and we had wooden deities, Gornitai, big wooden deities. I don't know where these deities are now, but it was an ecstatic service doing the deity worship every morning. And this was because the temple had virtually closed because all the devotees went to India to witness Srila Prabhupada leaving the planet. But I'd been ordered by Harikesh, someone has to stay here, someone has to maintain the program of people coming, and everyone, the temple had to stay open. So everyone went to India and I stayed there in Geneva. Although it was a wonderful time, and we had a lot of interesting guests who came in and donated things, this and that, vehicles for our Sankirtan. It was actually the office for the European BBT, and Tribhuvanath would drive up with the van and say, right, I want to fill the van with books, and we'd go into the basement and open up all the books, and he'd take loads of books, and we'd stack him up, have all the record, all the books recorded, what he'd got, and then he'd just drive off. Just drove off. So we thought, what's this? What's going on? They said, oh, this is Tribhuvanath. This is how I met Tribhuvanath. And later, back in England, I remember when we moved the BBT back, after some time, we moved it back to the UK. I had to go to America to explain to Mahendra, the head of the BBT, how all this money had gone. And they always had a writing-off system of Sangatan devotees who never actually paid the bill. So, Dasyam Sakyam, offering menial service as a friend, like Arjuna, he was a friend of Krishna. Then what did Krishna do? He took the position as driver of his chariot in the Battle of Kurukshetra. He took the reins and drove Arjuna's chariot. Our chariot is the body. This is known as Kshetra. And our field, we have to know the body. And then Kshetra Gya, the knower of the field, even if it's not taken over by Krishna, we can meditate on another form of Krishna, Antayami, the super soul. We have to feel guided by Krishna. Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. We have to feel guided by Krishna. And then he can help us traverse the material world. And Atmanivedanam, completely surrendering and offering everything to Krishna, body, mind, intelligence, as did Bali Maharaj. We may not be so surrendered that we can just follow any of these nine processes to perfection, although there are those that do and become perfect. So Krishna comes to trick us as he came to trick Bali Maharaj. A devotee sees that all things are streaming from the lotus feet of Krishna. And it is said that all the universes are all contained between the two lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, everything is Krishna's energy. We should not throw anything away. We should use everything in the service of the Lord. And Bhagavatam First Canto actually has a description of how even obnoxious materials can be used in the service of the Lord. This is alchemy. I call it the alchemy of agriculture. An amazing thing. Everything can be turned into service for Krishna. Uddhava says to Krishna, when the Yadu dynasty is retiring to Prabhas, O my dear Krishna, your pastimes are supremely auspicious, and hearing about you is like an intoxicating beverage for the ears. Tasting such pastimes, people forget their desires for other things. You see, we can learn to drink nectar through our ears. Just like Krishna, eats with his eyes or with any other part of his body. Offering everything to Krishna, how Krishna came to trick Bali Maharaj is the perfect example of Parasa, Atmanivedanam. This was the Lord's pastime with Bali Maharaj, who was a bit puffed up. He had some demoniac qualities. After all, he owned the whole universe. He was the owner of the entire universe. He thought that he was the proprietor of all the worlds. So how did he manage Atmanivedanam? How did he do that? It may not be so easy, even with all the others. Krishna comes and tricks us because he loves us. So a small Brahmin boy came before Bali Maharaj, dressed in a deer skin. He was busy asking about 3 steps of land. He said, well, I want 3 steps of land. So Bali Maharaj thought, no problem, we'll give him 3 steps of land. So then Krishna expanded himself as Urukrama. Uru means difficult. In another place in Bhagavatam, Uru means, it's explained as being difficult in the 3rd canto, I think. Uru has several meanings. A lot of words in Sanskrit have different meanings. But for what Vamana was going to do was not difficult for him. He took his first 2 steps and he covered the entire universe. With his 2nd step, his left foot broke through the covering of the universe. So, with the first 2 steps, he'd straddled the entire universe. He'd got his land given in charity. So, 40 years on, we can now see things have changed dramatically on Harinam. This is a result of continual preaching, book distribution, and by demonstrating how we practice what we preach. Karmis, as we call them, those involved in karma yoga, would agree. Would you agree? Karma yoga? Not really. We say karmis. Sense gratification. That's the goal of the karmis life. All they're concerned about is how to enjoy this world. There is no other goal in all the religions of the world, actually. There's no other goal than to enjoy the world. So they look at us and they see inconsistencies. They're very quick to point out inconsistencies with people who are serious about spiritual life. They're very much uncontrolled and wayward. But they notice things like inconsistency. They'll be very keen to pick these up. So, the consistency of Harinam has very much impressed them. Paul McCartney has commented on the Harinam. Still going. The same place. Distributing the holy name. 40 years. So, they throw themselves now into Kirtan on the Harinam, Saturday night Harinam. People come there and it's like they've been waiting. They just join into the Harinam. Unbelievable experience. And it's very, very pleasing to see how people accept the devotees. It's almost as if they're waiting there because they're so frustrated hanging around London on a Saturday night. And then the Harinam comes and the chanting is absolutely voluminous. The temple at that time, Krishna consciousness tends to go in waves. We had, when Mukunda was here, the temple room would be full in the morning, full, completely full of devotees. And it would be heaving, the chanting in Mangalarti, all through Mangalarti would be like this. You don't see this now. But it comes and goes, different times. Things swell up in Krishna consciousness. And we have to try and push these things forward because this is what makes the movement so pleasing to all the devotees and to Krishna. Krishna Nama Maha Mantra Aiswa Aiswa Baba Ye Japatara Krishna Upajaya Baba. Anyone who chants this mantra, Hare Krishna, is immediately awakening his loving ecstasy with Krishna. So this would signify that all the leelas of Krishna are within this mantra. Whereas klesho dikataras tesham avyakta shakta chetasam, those who are trying to awaken their impersonal understanding of Krishna to realize the Brahman, the white light, the effulgence of Krishna, this concept of giving up personal identity is a reaction to the terrible frustration of material egotism. It is not a positive program. If one is suffering unbearable pain in his hand, he may agree to have his hand amputated. But the better solution would be to cure the infection in his hand. And then the hand can be engaged in full service like this. Similarly, ego, or the sense that I am, is a source of unlimited happiness to a devotee because he understands that he is part and parcel of Krishna. And our only purpose in life is to serve the creator of all the worlds, all the creator of all the living entities. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva lokameshvaram. Then one who is transcendentally situated, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, at once realizes the Supreme Brahman. He becomes fully joyful. He never laments or hankers to have anything. He's equally disposed to every living entity, even down to microorganisms, because they are living entities also. We just have to know how best to serve them. Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. My devotional service, the devotee gains. Param, transcendental realm. Prabhupada writes in the last line of this verse, in such a state of mind, one can attain pure devotional service. So this is way, way beyond the second stage, the Brahman stage, the initial stage, Brahman realization. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears without Krishna, or a blackish color, he is understood to be Krishna himself. The same original Krishna that appears in different varnas has now appeared. Whenever Krishna appears in his full feature, he's understood to be Krishna Varnam. He appears in different colors, white, red, yellow, green, and black. Prahlad Maharaj states that Krishna is Channa. That is that although Krishna, he is covered by a yellow color. Although he is Krishna, he is covered by a yellow color. Thus the Gaudiya Vaishnavas accept that although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in pita color, he is Krishna. Krishna Varnam Trisar Krishnam Sango Pankastra Parshadam Yagir Sankitane Praya Gajanti Hi Sumeda Sa. In this age of Kali, people who are endowed with sufficient intelligence will worship the Lord who is accompanied by his associates by performance of Sankirtan Yajna. Other yajnas prescribed in the Vedic literatures are not easy to perform in this age, but the Sankirtan Yajna is easy and sublime for all purposes, as recommended in Bhagavad Gita. Another verse says, Bharati Bhumi Hailya Majusha Jamma Jana Jamma Sataki Karakara Para Upakara. One who has taken his human birth in the land of Bharatvash, India, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all others. And Prabhupada explains, the pure Vaishnav, not only those in India, but all the pure Vaishnavs should work for the benefit of others. This obviously has a whole raft of meaning. And the duty of a Brahmin is to take care of the welfare of others. Therefore, we have to lead society because ultimately there'll be so much chaos that there'll be devotees leading things because they know the truth. They know how to work in society to benefit society in the best ways through Varnashram. When Krishna comes to show his universal form to Mother Yasoda, as in this last chapter, Gargamuni said, "This child, this son of Rohini, will give happiness to his relatives and friends by his transcendental qualities. Therefore, his name is Ram. And because he will manifest extraordinary strength, he'll be known as Bala. This is our Lord Balaram. Moreover, because he unites two families, he will be known as Shankarshan, Lord Shankarshan." Then Gargamuni also said to Nanda Maharaj, just a few days ago, as you may remember, "Your son appears as an incarnation in every millennium. In the past, he has assumed three different colors, white, red, and yellow. And now he has appeared in a blackish color. In another Dwapara Yuga, he appeared as Lord Ramachandra in the color of Shuka, a parrot. All such incarnations have now assembled in Krishna. Harinama, Harinama, Eva Kevalam, Kalona Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatya Anyata." Then everything else will be considered a waste of time. The importance of the Hare Krishna mantra. There's no other way, no other way, in this age of Kali, of realizing the supreme absolute truth. So everything else will become Shrama Eva Hikavalam, a complete waste of time. Not that everything is a waste of time, but everything that is not related to Krishna is a waste of time. So here's there is a story I have from 2005, when I was in the jungle in Hawaii. But there is two words in Sanskrit which describe how you can receive the mercy of Krishna without trying to receive the mercy of Krishna. And I can't find these two words. They're in the 11th canto. Anyone might know them. If not, we can wait another time for this story and I'll find these two words that describe how the mercy of Krishna can come without begging for it, without looking for it. It's called the avocado story. So let's talk about difficult preaching. We had a GBC from USA, Rameshwara, who used to say there's difficult preaching. And Sutapa, if he's here, he might like to hear this because I know he does preaching to people that are difficult to preach to. And so Uru, this word we have come across here, means uncommon. Uru means great, Urukrama. But it also means difficult in the third canto. So the preaching here is very easy with the devotees because everyone is so receptive. But difficult preaching is thus. Like on our farm, we had one single girl who came with three children, single mother with three children to our farm. She's from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I don't know if you've met people from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but they're pretty staunch. And she was very helpful on the farm. We spent a lot of time doing a lot of work with her three immaculately turned out children. Very well behaved. Very strict Christians. But they wanted to be vegetarian. That's the goal of the seventh day. A lot of them want to become vegetarians. So one day she said to me, "I want to know the truth." So I said, I went to India years ago and I read a book called Bhagavad Gita. And then she went away and never spoke to me for 2 years. Just by mentioning Bhagavad Gita, it had done something to her soul. So then she came back and she'd had prasadam with all other guests that come to the farm. And then she said, "Right, I've now got a book for you." And she had a book she'd found, and she wanted me to read this book. And this was the book called Born Again Dirt, about a Christian farmer somewhere. So I agreed to have this book in exchange for my book, which is an agricultural book about Mayapur. And we'd been to a demonstration at the Seventh-day Adventist Church, a presentation, I should say, where they were doing how to cook raw food and how to prepare raw food like this for your health. And during the recess, I'd asked lots of questions. And so it came to a break, and I had my book out, and a lot of ladies came over, family people, mothers, and they said, right, can we buy this book? And I was just getting the book. I had several with me, actually. And then this lady came over who'd been at our farm, and she said, you can't sell that book here. You can't sell that book here. And all the ladies went, why not? Why can't we buy this book? And she said, it's a different thought process. I said, no. Oddly enough, in a Scottish accent, it's only a book about growing potatoes. So they thought it was extremely funny, but I couldn't sell the book. So this was the situation. But now she has this book. We have swapped these books this 2 years later. And it has one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, she's reading Shastra. And now we know, if you read just one verse of Shastra, it can change your life. If you read one line, it can change your life. So this verse is from the 10th canto. Let's see. And it goes, with their wealth of grains, the fields give joy to the farmers. But those fields create remorse in the hearts of the industrialists who are too proud to engage in natural farming and who fail to understand how everything is under the control of the Supreme. She is now reading Shastra and seeing the temple samadhi of Srila Prabhupada, reading all about the farming in Mayapur. They don't know that without Krishna, the whole world is full of miseries and danger at every step. This is the tapa trial on Mulinam, the three-pronged fork of misery, or you may know it as the threefold miseries. The story of Bali Maharaj is very revealing, who possessed all this land of the universe. So the Lord appeared, and he took his steps. And then Vamana said to Bali, he said, I've got one third step left. What am I going to do with this? So Bali Maharaj said, you place it on my head. Thus he received the greatest benediction of anything material, far, far greater than all the material universes. He received the mercy of the Lord. So Vamana Dev, he pierced the universe with his left foot. And in came the causal ocean through this break in the universal covering. And this water then came down and stayed on the head of Shiva for 1,000 celestial years. Then it came down as the river Ganga. So this is an interesting point. He struck the universal covering with his left foot. Therefore, he started off with his right foot. So we say, put your right foot forward. When I do pacing out land in different places, Africa, for different projects, you start with your right foot and you pace the land. You count the meters and the same this way, like this. So Krishna, Vamana began with his right foot. Left foot pierced the universe and his right foot then went onto the head of Bali Maharaj. So in fifth canto, Srila Jayadev has sung a song in connection with this, which is actually on an album that was by George Harrison, Ravi Shankar, Family and Friends. I don't know if any of you know this, but it is a verse directed to Vamana Dev. Chalayasi Vikramane Balaya Bhuta Vamana Padanakanara Janita Janapavana Keshavadrita Vamanarupa Jai Jagadishare. So maybe Jayadev Prabhu could put this to some musical form. I don't know if we know this song in the temple, but it is a nice song. I haven't heard it sung in the temple. Yes, but not that particular verse. Yeah, that's right. But that verse isn't sung, but it could be. You have heard it? I haven't heard that song sung. All right, very good. So, any questions, any points?